Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17 is probably one of the most famous Bible stories of all time. I know some of you probably already know what the story is, but inside this story there is another great question of the Bible, and we've been looking at some of these great questions of the Bible, and this is where a person was asking another individual. We've talked about God asking people questions, people asking God questions. Remember, what we learned is that God already knows. When God asks us a question, it's to show us something about ourselves or to teach us something about himself. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to be looking at the story of David and Goliath, but we're going to be focusing on one question that David asked. And I think that the purpose of this morning's message is to help us understand that there is a cause, there is a reason, there is a purpose in our life, and whether or not we're going to be living according to that purpose and the cause that God's given us. There's a couple things I wanted to start off by reminding you is that there is a cause in this world that's greater than ourselves, the cause of Christ. Something greater, a purpose in this world that we've been saved. And if we've been saved, we have this opportunity to do something that's bigger than who we are. I've mentioned this about church before. Sometimes people think about church and a church building, and it's about them, how everything should surround them, and everything should go according to their purpose and according to their plan. But the cause of Christ is bigger than any one individual. The impact that what God can make in a life and the impact that God can do in a life, it's something even far, far, far reaching than anything else that this world has to offer. And then I also consider not only the things that are going on, but I think about we have an election in a few days. And in this upcoming election, probably what many people are calling the most important election of our lifetime, maybe one of the most important elections of all time. And I even begin thinking, if we are living in the last of the last days, this may be the last election that we're ever a part of, too. And if you think about that, that gets kind of puts things into perspective here. You know, is there a cause to what we're doing? Is there a cause and a purpose for our lives? So I'd like to look a little bit about that today. And when I see in this story of what's going on, since it is David and Goliath a little bit, I'm going to just go ahead and I'm going to read through it. I'm going to come down to a certain spot, but I'm not going to read the entire passage. I know many of you are familiar with this. Goliath was the Philistine giant. It was the Philistine champion. And in this Philistine champion, he was there and he was challenging the nation of Israel. If you remember how the story goes, the Philistines are on one side of the mountain and there's a valley and the Israelites were on the other side. And each and every day, Goliath would come down, he would mock, he would defy the living God, and he would say, choose one of you to come down and fight me, and if I win the battle, then the Israelites will be the Philistine servant. And then if your warrior will win the battle, then the Philistines would be the Israelite servant. Now, it seems like a pretty fair deal. Saves a lot of bloodshed and things like that, but what they don't remind you, or Goliath, the Bible tells us, is Goliath was a giant. He wasn't just a normal guy. He was a fighter, a champion from his youth, anywhere from 9.5 feet to over 10 feet tall. And he was a monster in some ways. Obviously, he was human, but the strength that he had and the size that he had, very intimidating. And every time this man came down and was calling out and was challenging them, the Israelites would go and they would run away. They would flee away. David, I know many of us know David, and we know David beat Goliath. We know David as King David. We know David, the man after God's own heart, David who wrote a lot of the Psalms, David that was picked to be the next anointed king here. David is just a shepherd boy right now. You say, well, just a shepherd boy. It's right where God wanted him. Because as a shepherd boy, which was not the best job in the family, even it was a job that was pushed down upon David. But as a shepherd boy, think about all the things that David learned. David would never learn the power of God if it was not for that lion and that bear to try to attack the sheep. And even though his brothers probably were thinking, oh good, David's got that job, David was the one that God was able to use and God was able to train out there in those fields. Let's jump in here in the story, and we'll start off in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verses 20 through 30. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to start in verse number 20. David's father has asked David to take his brothers and their captain some food. It says in verse number 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. I want you to see here in verses 20 and 21 and 22, I see David as being a young man who is responsible. God likes to use people that are responsible. Like I said, you say, Pastor, why do you think that David was the one that was pushed to the sheep and many people didn't want to do the sheep? It's because remember when Samuel came to town to anoint one of the brethren, they didn't even consider David. You know, they left David out there taking care of the sheep. Here, you see how responsible he is. It says in verse 20, he rises up early in the morning. Second thing, he keeps the sheep with the keeper. Thirdly, you see how he even does and leaves the carriage in the hand of the keeper. So he's being responsible for the things that God has given him to do and also his father has given him to do. He has done this job and he's doing the job that his father has asked him to do. Verse 23, and he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. So we see here that this, and if you go to, you say the same words. What are the same words? Look what it says in verse number 10. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So every day he would come out and he would defy David's God and also David's army. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up, surely to defy Israel, is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You see, David wants to fight the giant on the behalf of Israel, on behalf of God. Eliab is afraid. Eliab doesn't want to. Eliab is doing what the rest of the crowd does, and he belittles David. He makes David, and he says to David, you know, what are you going to do? And who did you lead this few sheep? He is mocking David to the point that he's saying, you're not worth it. You can't accomplish anything. Look who you are. Look what your job is. Verse 29 is where we get our question from. And David said, what have I now done? And then he asks this question, is there not a cause? Verse number 30 is the last verse right now. And it says, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again and after the same manner. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I know that we live in a time and a day that seems like there's so many challenges that are just adding up around us that they are overwhelming at times. Be easier to run and hide and be easier to just do the things the way the world tells us we should do them. But Lord, help us to believe in our heart there is a cause. There's a purpose that's bigger than us. You're working out something greater than us. And Lord, this is all according to your plan. And Lord, you know exactly what's happening. Help us to believe and trust in the fact that there is a cause for the things that we do. And Lord, how we live our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember years ago, I had the opportunity as, I, probably somewhere around 26 or 27 years old. I got the opportunity to preach in church back at Baptist Bible while I was in Bible college, I think three different times. Two of the times it was called popcorn preaching. And I know some of you know what popcorn preaching is. You got to get up there and you got to speak for 10 minutes and the person sat down and somebody else would speak for 10 minutes and then somebody else would speak. And I enjoyed the privilege of being able to preach. It gave a chance of a guy who was studying to be in the ministry opportunity to preach to the whole church without messing everything up. Because in 10 minutes, you can mess things up, but you usually don't mess things up too bad. So they gave you 10 minutes each, so you didn't mess things up. And then the last service where I was at Baptist Bible, they gave me the opportunity to preach a full-length message that was probably the Sunday before I came here. And I was thankful for that opportunity. One of those messages that I preached in there, we looked at this passage of Scripture. And we looked at this thought, is there not a cause? And I use the illustration, and I know probably years ago we've looked at this again, looked at this thought before, but when we're considering the great questions of the Bible, it's a question I think we need to ask. It's a question we need to consider. Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason why we live the Christian life? Is there not a reason why we're here today? Is there not a reason? Is there not a cause for all the things that we do? I use the illustration about sports teams. I don't know how many of you guys were on a athletic team growing up, whether it's in high school or in college. But one of the things they make you do, or at least a good coach will make you do, they make you do training or exercise in order to be ready for the sporting event. I played soccer growing up. I played basketball some. I enjoy basketball now more than I did soccer. But back in soccer, one of the things you had to do is you had to run. And you had to run a long time. You had to run for miles upon miles. Each practice, we started with a mile and a half trek around the property. At the end of practice, you did a mile and a half trek around the property, not counting what suicides are, which are sprinting back and forth throughout the practice. And looking back at it now, at the age of 47 that I am, I look back there and think, man, I was crazy. I just ran and ran and ran just so I could kick a ball around. Was it really worth it? And I know some young people that are here and that play sports, they say, yeah, it's worth it. You get to be part of a team. You get to win a game. You get to maybe win a trophy. You get to build friendship. I get that. But every time when I go to an opportunity to talk to at a sporting banquet or at a practice or something like that for sporting events, I tell them there's a reason why you do what you're doing. There's a cause for all those wind sprints and all those suicides. There's a cause for the fact that you have to go and run long term and long distances so you'll be ready. There's a purpose behind it. Now, it might seem like your coach just wants to be cruel and that your coach just wants to see how much pain they can inflict on you, but that's not usually the case. Instead, it's there so you'll be ready when it came time to play the game that you won't be tired, because if you are in good physical shape, then you can accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. And I look back over those years, and that was one of the challenges that was there, was the exercising, but our coach always made sure we were ready. And if we were going to lose, it wasn't because we were not in shape. And I go back and I think about those years. I don't know if you've been a part of a sporting team. I know you can at least understand the analogy. You remember all the trips and all the miles and all the running and all those different things. There was a reason for it. And it's amazing. I would do sit-ups and I would do push-ups and I would run miles a day. And I would sit there and take a ball and I would pass it back and forth. We do different drills day after day after day, all for this reason, to be able to be ready to play a game. I wanted to help us understand this morning, there's some things in life more important than a game. There's some things more important in this world than a game. And David here, he's faced with this challenge. This giant who has struck fear in the heart of every Israelite that's there, including their king, is there. And David sees something, and he sees there's a purpose that's happening here. And he says, look, there's something bigger than Goliath going on here. I think we need to understand the truth here. There's something bigger than just what we think the upcoming election's about. There's something greater in this world, and there is a cause and a purpose that we should be living by. There's some things I want you to think about before we get too far in this. First thing I want you to think about, the two purposes why David fought the giant. The two reasons why David fought the giant. The first thing I see here, and I hear David, what he's talking about here in verse number 26, he says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He's mocking the one true God that David loves. He says, well, you know what? I don't care how big Goliath is. I don't care how strong Goliath is. I don't care how big his spear is. I don't care how much the Philistines are there. There is a cause. There is a man here. There is a giant here that's mocking my God, and somebody needs to do something. There's something that needs to happen. The second thing I want you to think about is the reason why I think David fought the battle is you go to verses 46 and 47. You fast forward through this and you see that the challenge that happens. He goes to see Saul. But in verses 46 and 47, David explains when Goliath is talking to him, and Goliath says he's going to cut his flesh off and going to kill him and feed his flesh to the fowls of the air, verse 44. It says in verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. So we see once again, he's coming in the name of the God that he was defying. And then look what it says in verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And you think, wow, David sounds pretty confident here. David thinks he's going to win this battle and he's going to become some great warrior. But look at his purpose here. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David's not looking for some type of accolade. And I know it reminds him about Saul and reminds what Saul was going to do for the champion. Saul ends up not doing some of those things for him anyway. And then it says in verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the earth saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle was the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So I'm reading this verse, and I come to the spot, and I see, man, David understood something. That his life had a bigger purpose. He knew that God was able to save and God was able to accomplish and that God was able to work. And his brother comes and mocks him. And he looks at his brother and says, what now have I done? Is there not a cause? And so I want you to think about the reason why David is fighting. I don't think David's fighting because his family would be free from taxes, as talked about. I don't think David was fighting to be able to get one of Saul's daughters. I don't think David was fighting to do those different things to get the accolades. I think David's fighting because he's interested in standing up for the one true God. And he's interested in the world knowing that there is a God and that there's a God in heaven. And that God doesn't deliver like everybody else delivers. That God instead is able to deliver unlike anyone else. He saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David had a different cause. He had a different reason for the reason why he was living his life. The other Israelites that were up there, they were there, and they were willing to fight the battle, but they weren't willing to fight Goliath. David comes along, comes on the scene, and he says this question, is there not a cause? The first thing I want you to think about is the purposes why David fought the giant. The second thing I want you to think about, he did not let criticism stop him from his cause. Look what it says in verses 29 and 30. He comes to the scene. He's there. And once again, I get it. He's a little brother. He's running up on the scene. He's saluting everybody. Eliab is there. And he sees and hears his brothers talking. And Eliab gets upset. It says in verse number 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He says, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. So he sits there, and he's making accusations, he's criticizing David, and that's when David responds. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Christian, today I'm trying to, hopefully you get the point, is that there is a cause, there is a reason or a motive that urges us and that moves us to make up our mind and to decide, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to do what's right, because there is a cause working behind the scenes that we're standing for and that we're living for. When we talk about making our vote on Tuesday, and we're looking at it, he said, well, who should I vote for? I believe you should vote according to biblical values. I think that's how you should be voting. That's what you should live your life as a Christian. That's what you are. Even you're a Christian when you enter into the ballot box, you're a Christian when you leave, you should be voting according to Christian values. And you say, what type of Christian values? People that are for the home, a husband and a wife, people that are not trying to support or propagandate homosexuality, people that do care about the babes that live inside the wounds, all those different things. These are things that there is something that we should stand for. And that's what David here, he's there and he hears a guy that's mocking God, that's defying God. And he's like, look, there's an important thing going on here. And I need to make sure that I stand up. And I'm not just standing up for how I feel. I'm standing up for a greater cause. There's a greater purpose in this world. There's a greater purpose in this life. And David asks this question. He turns and he asks his brother, he says, is there not a cause? Now, Eliab was not the guy that was should be mocking David. Eliab was somebody who should have listened to David and thought, you know what? What David's saying is right and true. There is a cause. There is a purpose. There is a reason. I'll go fight Goliath. But no, nobody else wants to do that. David does because he understands the importance of the cause. And David does not let criticism stop him from his cause. And I want to encourage you today is don't let people stop you from the cause of Christ. Cause of Christ is more important than anything else in this world. It's more important than our own lives. We hear about missionaries. We watched a missionary movie yesterday about a missionary that went to Burma and God used in a special place. And even his wife was died at a young age and their baby died at a young age. But he was able to translate the word of God into the Burmese language and how he was willing to say, hey, look, if I don't come back, I realize I might not come back. And when you're reading the letters, you know, Burma was a hard place, a tough place to go to. And he was like, hey, I know I might not come back. He says, but there's something bigger. There's something more important in my life than not coming back. There's the cause of Christ. There's the call of God on my life. And David says, I'm not going to stand here. I'm not going to let that giant sit there and mock me and defy the true and living God without standing up and doing something that is right and living for him. I want to encourage you today, ask yourself this question, is there not a cause in your life? Is there not a reason why, hey, I should say no to sin and say no to my flesh and say no to wickedness because there's a greater cause in my life, there's a greater reason why I'm here than just fulfilling my own pleasure. And sometimes people will not understand, sometimes people will criticize, as you see here in verses 29, and you see here in verse number 30, that David turns, he says to Eliab, what have I done? He says, I haven't done anything wrong. All I'm doing is standing up and want to live for God, and all I'm doing is wanting to live my life for a greater cause than just for myself. He says something to him, and then he turns around and he continues to talk about it. And sometimes that's what we have to deal with, people that are criticizing us trying to live for God. If you want to live for the Lord, sometimes there are going to be people who do not understand. Sometimes there are going to be people like Eliab and even his two brothers and even King Saul that are afraid, they're fearful, they don't want to take the stand, they don't like what the giant's doing, but they don't know what to do about it. And if you're going to stand up for God and say, you know what, there's a greater cause in my life than me, myself, I'm going to say, hey, what have I done? What am I doing wrong? There is a cause, and then I'm going to turn and I'm going to keep on serving. If God is giving you something to do, then do it. And that's what David is saying here. Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason or a motive that is urging me forward, that's pushing me forward to do what he's called me to do? Don't let criticism stop you from serving the Lord. But many times, if one person says something to you, one door gets shut in your face, one person's discouraged from you, the cause seems to go away. Oh, that's okay. No, that's not what David. David is not only facing a 10-foot giant. David's facing an older brother who is mocking him and questioning him. But David says, you know what? It's not the giant. It's not the brother. This is God's work. And this is what God, this person is defying God. I'm not going to let it happen. And if God will save, then the whole world, not only will the Philistines know that there's a God in Israel, but even that the Israelites will know there's a God in Israel. And the reason why we don't see many things happening in some churches today is because we have churches sometimes filled with people that are not willing to live for the cause or live by faith. Instead, they rather just stay and be silent and say, well, I guess God's just not moving and God's just not working anymore. And that's what the whole Israelites were doing. They're sitting on the sidelines while there's a battle that needs to be fought. They're sitting on the sidelines and they're watching. And this young man comes, this young man who God's already worked in his heart before. He was a man after God's own heart. That's what he told in 1 Samuel 16. He was talking to Samuel. He says, you look at these guys. You think they should be next king? He says, I found someone. You know who I found? I found someone who is a man after my own heart. I found someone who loves me. And that's what God's looking for. It is someone who'll grab a hold and say, you know what? There is a cause to my life. There is a purpose to my life. He say, Pastor, I thought I'm supposed to be a good husband and a good wife. Yes, but you can do that in the cause for Christ. You can do that by serving him and living for him. And don't let some criticism stop you, because Eliab didn't understand it. King Saul didn't understand it. Probably the hundreds of thousands of people that are sitting up on that hill, none of them understood that when David said, is there not a cause? None of them thought that cause was great enough to risk their own life. But David says, you know what? The cause is worth risking my life for. The cause is worth giving everything for, because I trust that God will deliver us. You go over and you think about the verses we read earlier that's found, and we looked at the end where the reason why he did it in verse 45, David thought he was going to win the battle. David wasn't walking up to that fight thinking, oh no, I did what I was supposed to do, now I'm going to die. No, David says, I'm trusting in God, and God can deliver. He doesn't need a sword. He doesn't need a spear. God didn't even need a slingshot. God used that to show the people, not only the Israelites, but the Philistines, there is a God, and if you'll grab a hold to his cause, he can do something in your life that you never expected. The next thing I want you to think, not only did he not let criticism stop him, he didn't let threats stop him either. Look what it says in verses 42 and 45. Verses 42 and 45, it says, and when the Philistines looked about and saw David, in the Philistine referring to Goliath, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now, I think it's kind of interesting here that Eliab was mocking David. Who did you leave your few sheep with? What are you doing here? Goliath, he's standing before Goliath, and he's seeing Goliath. And could you imagine if the sun's hitting Goliath's armor and the intimidating figure he must have been, and he's calling him out, and he's saying, look, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to give your flesh over to the fowls of the air. And he's mocking him, and he's saying to him, you don't have a chance, boy. Give it up. But that doesn't stop him. It doesn't. What does it take us to stop our calls? I mean, this giant of a man was there, and David says, is there not a cause? And he follows through for it. He doesn't just say it, but when there is a threat that is coming to him, when there's bodily injury, this is not a game here. This is something that this man here is planning on destroying David and leaving his body there for the fowls of the air. And you know what? This disdain is referring to the feeling that someone or something is unworthy of one's consideration. It's a contempt that Goliath had. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to silence you. And as a church, we need to understand, as Christians, we need to understand there is a cause. And yes, people may threaten. And yes, people may try to harm you. But you know what? The cause of Christ is greater than any of those things. Amen. The third thing I want you to think about is David did not let obstacles stop him either. He did not let obstacles stop him here. Look what it says in verse 33. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. He says, look, David, you don't have the proper training. Then you consider the size of Goliath as 6 cubits in a span. That would be somewhere around 9 feet and 9 inches. You consider his armor. You consider his lack of support. Many people would look at those obstacles, and many people would say, maybe it's not worth it. I want to encourage you today, the cause of Christ is worth it. It is worth living for God today. It's worth living for God in the day and time we live at. Yes, the obstacles might look like there's a 10-foot giant standing in front of you, but there is a cause that's greater than that giant. There's a cause that can defeat that giant. There's a cause that you should not let criticism, you should not let threats, and you should not let obstacles stop you. This cause is greater than your fears. This cause is greater than your wants. This cause is greater than your pride. This cause is greater than your own preferences. Sometimes I see how people act in church, and I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, really? We're trying to serve the Lord here, trying to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out, and you're making such a big deal over something that's so little. Now, once again, I'm not saying we shouldn't do things right. We should, and we should do things the best way we knew how. But sometimes some people get so fixated on one certain thing that they miss the most important thing. Guess like Eliab. Eliab's there and saying, well, where'd you leave those few sheep at, David? What are you doing here? And he's mocking him, and he doesn't care about the cause. He cares about the way he looks. You can imagine Eliab is feeling, well, my little brother's here talking a big game, and I'm not willing to do anything. And because he's not spiritual enough to care about the cause, he wants to mock those that are trying to do something for God. And what drives me crazy is when there's someone sitting in the background, sitting on the hill, sitting on the mountain, wanting to do nothing for God, but they're going to sit there and nitpick about the people that are trying to serve the Lord. They got to remember there's a cause out there. There's a purpose out there, and there's a reason why people are trying to serve the Lord. Maybe not doing it exactly the way that they could or should, but at least they're trying to do something for the Lord, and the cause is greater than our preferences. The cause is greater than our sense of style or fashion. The cause is greater than our convenience. The cause of Christ is something that we should set aside our own desires and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? It's greater than our resources. You know, Saul tries to put on that armor on David, thinking he's helping David. Saul was not a person that should be giving any advice at that point in time. Saul should have been at the altar saying, God, why am I so afraid that I can't fight the giant? Instead, he's saying, here, let me try to help you. And that's what sometimes the people on the hill are trying to do. Hey, you need to do it this way. You need to do it that way. You didn't care about the cause yesterday. Why do you care about it today? Let me go out and serve the Lord. And that's what David's saying here. Look, I've never tried these things. Think about it. The cause is greater than me or you. I've told people before, and honestly believe this, that you know, this is not my church. I get the privilege of serving in a church and pastoring a church. And I know people come up to me sometimes as your church or my church. And usually when somebody says, at your church, is usually not a good thing. Sometimes it's because they want to criticize something. But it's God's church. And I was telling my Sunday school class earlier today, I spent 29 years at Baptist Bible Church and came here. I've only had two church homes and two church families. And if that's okay with the Lord, I don't mind if that's all it is till the end. That's okay with me. But at the same time, it's not about me. It never has been. It wasn't even about David. David didn't want the glory. David didn't want the honor. David was sitting there saying, you know what's going to happen? They're going to watch you do this, and they're going to know that God did it. Because if God would have chose Saul, then some people say, well, Saul was taller than everybody else, bigger than everybody else. But God chose to use someone who said, the cause is worth giving my life for. And because the cause is worth giving my life for, I'm going to go ahead and do what I know is right, no matter what the cause is. So I believe as a Christian, we are a part of something so much bigger than we are. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, and we are called for a certain purpose. This cause is written throughout all the Bible, and we shouldn't let things stop us. And I'm saying we shouldn't let Eliab stop us, and we shouldn't let Goliath stop us, and we shouldn't let a lack of, once again, there's doing things the right way, but we should not let obstacles stop us. But so often the cause is not great enough in our own heart and life to leave sin behind. Sometimes the cause is not great enough for us to read our Bible every day. Sometimes the cause is not great enough for us to be able to pray and to be a witness and to live a holy life. David's saying, I'm willing to risk my life to fight a giant. But there's many people who said, I don't think the cause is important enough to even come to church for. I think the cause is great enough that we should guard our hearts, guard our eyes, and guard our ears. I think the cause is great enough to where we should set aside some things that are holding us back to say, this is slowing me down in my walk. I think it's big enough and strong enough that we should dress for the Lord, and we should have entertainment that's pleasing to the Lord, and that we should raise our children for the Lord. We should do things that are appropriate and good, because there is a cause for every believer and a purpose for your life that's more important than Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Hallmark movies. Whatever it is that you like or not like, God's call on your life is more important than your music that you love, or there's friends you don't want to get rid of. There's a cause, a purpose. But do we hold a heart that we care about that cause and purpose? I was talking to somebody this week, and they were talking to me about a Christian who doesn't believe in voting, doesn't believe in getting involved in politics and things like that. And they said, well, what do you say to somebody like that? I said, first thing that comes to my mind is they're not being a good steward. God has given us an opportunity here in America with the religious freedom and the spiritual freedom that we have to serve the Lord without being criticized or without being told we can't be a church and things like that. We have some religious freedoms unlike anywhere else in the world has ever had. And we should be a steward of that. And that's what I'm saying that, and my preference and what I was going to preach about was having a biblical worldview on some of the different major parts of the different things that our country struggles with. But you know, that's not what the Lord wanted this morning. But the cause of Christ is what he wanted. He wants us to look past what America is. America is something we should steward. He said, that's something God has given us. We were born now, in this day, in this time, and in this country, with the right to vote and the right to be able to speak up and to speak out, and we should. We should do it for the cause of Christ and say what we should vote according to our biblical values. We should vote and stand up for the cause of Christ and be able to just relay those things to the world. We're not basing it off a platform. We're not basing it off a personality. We're doing what we believe the Lord would have us to do. And that's being a good steward in my mind. So I want to encourage you, if you have not voted, that you vote. And you would be amazed. I went to a couple of different meetings in the last few months about to pastors, about the encouraging and this and that. How many people in churches like ours don't even go out and vote? That aren't even registered to vote. That's why I try to encourage you. I don't make it a big political thing, but I try to encourage my people. I don't think that's the case here in our church, but of course, none of the pastors probably feel that way. I think it's being a good steward, being a good citizen of the privileges that God has given us of being American to exercise our right to say, there is a cause in this world. And as a believer and as a Christian, I'm going to have my voice heard for this cause. America is only a portion of my life. It is not my whole life. It's a portion of what God has given me to be a steward of. And I'm going to use the advantages I have as an American to get the cause of Christ out. Not for myself and not for someone else, but because there's a cause that's greater than me. I want to encourage you today. How serious do you take that cause? I love this question. As you know, I've mentioned this a couple of times. I've preached this, you know, that first time as an adult many, many years ago. I remember when God gave me this, the thought there. And I thought to my life, and God was working my heart about becoming a pastor or a youth pastor or whatever it was. And I said, Lord, there is a cause for my life. There's a purpose for me. It's more than me, it's more than this physical world. The God of the universe is calling me to do something. Who am I to say no? So right, that's right, Pastor. You're a pastor. You're supposed to answer that call. God has a call on all of our lives. How are we going to steward that? Are we going to say that that call of God or that cause is more important than whatever it is that you struggle with? But if we're struggling with just reading our Bible and praying and being a witness, the cause doesn't mean that much to us. It should, but it just doesn't. So I want you to think about, if you were there that day, you got the Philistines on one side, the Israelites on one side. You got some, I'm sure, people who know God, who love God, over here on this mountain, just watching. And you see this boy, David, coming out, and he's there and he's starting to ask questions. Nobody likes it when people ask questions, especially when it's serving God. Why are we letting this happen? What is going on? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why aren't you guys doing something about it? And they're like, that's when the threatenings come. That's when the mockings come. And that's when he says, look, there's a cause greater than me here. There's a cause greater than all you. There's someone that is attacking the one true God, and we need to stand up. we need to do something about this. Something needs to change. And David felt called of God to go fight the Goliath. He told Saul, he says, don't let your heart be troubled because of this guy. I'll fight him. So I want you to think about it. And I know we try to tie it in a little bit with the upcoming election, but I think there's something more important than the upcoming election. And I know it's a few days away, and I know it hinges on a lot of things for America, but what happens if one guy gets in? What's going to happen? The cause of Christ is still going to be there. What happens if the other guy gets in? The cause of Christ is going to get there. What happens if the world becomes topsy-turvy and all the... None of that changes what our responsibility is. Is there not a cause? There is a cause in this world. It's more important than our preferences. It's more important than what we want or desire. It's the cause of Christ. The church is bigger than me. Church is bigger than you. We should follow the Lord and do what he desires us to do and live for him. I love this story. And I probably have 10 different messages out of the 1 Samuel chapter 17 because there are so many different good things in here. But probably one of my favorites is there not a cause? Because it reminds me, there's a reason why I need to get up tomorrow. I need to read my Bible because there's a cause. I need to pray. I need to be a witness because the cause is more important than sleeping in a little bit. The cause is more important than my kids or my grandkids. My relationship with God is the most important. He'll make me a great dad. He'll make me a great husband. He'll make me a great pastor. He'll make me all those things. But the cause of Christ, if I put that first and foremost in my life, my relationship with him, he'll make everything else fall in place. But there will be people who will mock you. There'll be people who will laugh at you. There'll be people who will question you. There'll be people who says, oh, you can't do that. You can't. What are you talking about? You can't even take care of those sheep. And then you'll have others out there as you begin to try to live for God that will threaten you. Be like, you ain't going to do that. If you do that, then there's going to be consequences. And then the devil's going to come alongside you and say, you're not strong enough. You're just not smart enough. Let somebody else do it. All those different things you see that David faced over and over. But David kept his eyes focused, said, there is a cause. So when you get there, a challenge of why should I live for God today? Why should I be a witness? Say this, there is a cause. There is a cause. That's the reason why I am stopping this and starting this. There is a cause. That's why I want to give out a gospel tract. There is a cause. That's why I want to tithe. There's a cause. That's why I want to be here tonight. There's a cause that's more important than anything about us personally. Now, does God love us? Of course he does. Does he have a plan for you? He does. That plan begins with salvation. See, Pastor, you talk about this cause. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about the fact that God loves you and that he didn't want to see people die and go to hell, that he sent his son down the cross to die for the sins of mankind so that way people could have a way to go to heaven. And if you'll call out upon the Lord, he will save you. And if you're not sure you're a Christian, I would encourage you to come forward to find more about this cause. But that cause is what has dictated us to go out into the world. It's the reason why we're here today, to learn about him, to grow about him, to understand him better so we can go forth telling other people. That's the reason why we don't do certain things and the reason why we do certain things. The reason why we forgive is because we're part of a greater cause than my own feelings, my own bitterness. There's a purpose for your life today. There's a cause. There's a call that God has on it. Is there not a cause? Let's pray.